You've probably heard me say it or have heard it before. I've said it a number of times. You're blessed to be a blessing. Have you heard me say that? You are blessed to be a blessing. Last week we looked at the Sermon on the Mount's beginning, the Beatitudes. So we continue in the book of Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 13, ending in verse 16. Let's take a look there. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp or put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father, for your awesome grace and your amazing mercy that showers us and the abundant love that is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit today. Help us to see what you want us to see today and grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus together. In Jesus' name, amen. The Visible Community. That was a title I knew a few years ago when I was reading The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Many of you know Dietrich Bonhoeffer was the Lutheran pastor who was put into prison. He actually was part of a plot for the assassination of Hitler. And he got caught for that, and he was eventually hung at the age of, I think, 42, just days before the Allied troops released the prisoners. He was killed for his faith in Christ and for being a part of that plot. He wrote a number of books. One of them was called The Cost of Discipleship, which basically is a commentary on the Sermon on the Mount. So what's the visible community? It's a body of believers that are a community. And what makes them a community is Christ himself. So followers of Christ that gather in a family of believers is a visible community. So first, God's blessing to us, we see in the Beatitudes, verses 3 through 12. First, God's blessing to us. And then now through and by us, blessing for the world. So receive vertically, and then horizontally we bless others. So you're blessed to be a blessing. That's what that's all about. So we begin with salt. I don't know, maybe 30 years ago I decided, they is a big group. It's a huge group. Nobody knows how many they are. They're friends with them, and they. I decided to not put salt. Shaker salt. Now, some of you are going, what are you, nuts? You don't salt your food? I don't salt extra my food, because my food, especially if you eat at McDonald's, oops, sorry. There's high sodium in food, especially fast food. Okay, we don't need to add extra. Now, that's up to you. You can do whatever you want, but I'm just saying what I do. I don't put extra salt on my food. So what is salt good for anyway? Oh, we got answers. Well, this is interactive. This is a message that's interactive. What is salt good for? Your body. Salt is good at the minerals. The salt gives you nourishment, right? Body. Okay, did you have another one? What? For fries, yeah. I knew somebody was going to do that. Salt is good for fries. It is. It is. No doubt about it. You got one? Yeah. Any potatoes, if you put mashed potatoes in butter, don't you have to have some salt on that too, right? What else you got, Mary? Chips. Salty chips, right? Or say, what? Yeah, salt is a preservative. It's a preservative. Back in the way back days, they would take meat from an animal and cut it up and stuff. I'm sorry. But that's what they did. And to preserve it, to make sure it was good for later, they put salt on it to preserve it. Do you have another one? What? Chips? Somebody said chips? We can have two chips. That's okay. Salted caramel. Come on. Rhonda makes a mean sea salt chocolate chip cookie. Right? Salted caramel is one of my favorite. Oh, okay, we could go on forever. Okay, that's enough. We could go on forever with salt and what it's good for. So one who shares the salt, they have received. Now we're talking spiritually now, salt. One who shares the salt they've received preserves what is good, pushes back decay, because salt's good for pushing back decay, and makes the world around them brighter. So I've got very good news for you this morning. You are salt. Did you know that? What? Can I put myself on fries? No. But bear with me now for a minute. You are salt. We're not interactive anymore. Sorry. You can share it with me after. You are salt because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. This Sermon on the Mount, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Remember, we had gathered them right over here last Sunday. Remember when we put them over here? Okay, I probably spent too much time over here so you couldn't see what was going on there. But Jesus himself, from the Sermon on the Mount, says, you guys and you are the salt of the earth. What? Me? You? You're salt. You're salty. Jesus does not say, you must be salt. He doesn't say that. It's not for the disciples or followers of Christ to decide whether they will be the salt of the earth, for they are so, whether they like it or not. They have been made salt by the call they've received. So whether you want to be salt or not, you are by the call that you have received from the Lord himself. We talked about that last Sunday in speaking of the Beatitudes. These blessings are received by the call and promise of Jesus. So Bonhoeffer said this, the call of Christ makes those who respond to it the salt of the earth in their total existence. You are salt. The Apostle Paul said similar things, not salt, more of a scent. Paul said it this way, but it's a similar thing. But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma, scent, of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are an aroma that brings death, to the other, an aroma that brings life. Who's equal to such a task? Here I am, send me. You are salt. And you're salty. Because of Jesus. The call of Jesus also makes the disciple community not only salt, but also light. So their activity, our activity, is visible. Remember how we started? A visible community. How will they see you? Them out there. How will they see you? How will they know you? As salt and as light. You are the light. Once again, it is not you are to be the light. You already are the light. Because Christ has called you. You are a light which is seen by others. you cannot be otherwise. Bonhoeffer again says, how impossible, how utterly absurd it would be for the disciples, these disciples, such men as these, to try and become the light of the world. No, they are already the light, and the call has made them so. The light is not an instrument which has been put into their hands like a flashlight. I could had a flashlight here today. The light is not like, boop, not like that. It's the disciples themselves are the light, as we are. The same Jesus who, speaking of himself, said, I am the light, says to his followers, you are the light in your whole existence, provided you remain true to your calling. And since you are the light, you can no longer remain hidden. Even if you want to. A city on the hill cannot be hid. It can be seen for miles away, especially at nighttime. I'm from Bismarck, and we're going there shortly. And if we're traveling at night, coming to Bismarck, at least 30 miles, maybe more, there's a certain glow over the horizon. You've seen this at night, driving. Maybe you're coming home to Grand Forks. Now, Grand Forks, you could probably see it for 70 miles because it's flat as a pancake. Flat as a pancake. But a city on a hill, now, in their minds, they're thinking Jerusalem. Jerusalem's literally on a mountaintop. When we, Psalms of Ascent that we read, 125, Psalm 125 through 135, words of worshipers as they were traveling to the temple in Jerusalem, they were going up, ascending the mountain to worship at the temple in Jerusalem. A city on a hill, on a mountain, cannot be hid, even if it wants to. Bonhoeffer said, the followers are a visible community. Their discipleship visible in action, which lifts them out of the world. Otherwise, it would not be discipleship. Now, there's a danger here in these verses that we read. If the community of Jesus hides itself or has ceased to follow him, the light can be hid under a bowl or a bushel, and it's not seen. Jesus says, that's the danger. If you try to hide the light, or if you've come away and said, well, Jesus is not who I'm following anymore. There's the danger. Jesus says this. He says, let your light shine before others. Let your light shine before others. You've been given the light because of the light. For when it's all said and done, it is the light of the call of Jesus Christ which shines here. Was not this light made visible by what Jesus accomplished in his mission when he went to the cross? In that moment when he was on the cross dying for you, and he said, it is finished, we became visible. When we said, yes, I believe that you died, I believe that you rose again, I believe that you're in heaven now, in that moment when we realize that, when we said yes to Jesus, we became salt and light. We became visible. We are the visible community. here on earth. Others are not to see the disciples, but their good works, says Jesus. And these works are none other than those which the Lord Jesus himself has created in them by calling them to be the light of the world under the shadow of the cross. So what are these good works? Return to last Sunday when we talked about the Beatitudes. Jesus says, when you see those things, those people, you see me, poor in spirit, meek, peaceful, persecuted, rejected. During World War II, in a small French village called Le Chambon, I'm sorry, my French is not so good, so I'll try here. Le Chambon sur Lyon. Hey, that's not bad. Lived a quiet Protestant pastor named André Trocmé. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. André Trocmé. He wasn't famous. He wasn't powerful. He wasn't armed. Oh, but was he salty? When Nazi forces occupied France, Trocmé told his congregation something simple and profoundly dangerous. We will resist whenever our adversaries demand of us obedience contrary to the orders of the gospel. And then he lived it. The people of La Chambon, farmers, school teachers, homemakers, teenagers, began hiding Jewish refugees in their homes, barns, and even under floorboards. They forged documents, shared food, created escape routes through the mountains. They sheltered over 3,000 Jews, most of them children. Trocmé didn't shout. He didn't seek attention. He simply seasoned his village with the gospel. Courage, compassion, and costly love. And that salt spread. His character preserved life in a time of death. His light exposed the darkness of hatred and fear. His quiet obedience became a beacon that guided thousands to safety. Years later, one survivor said, in that village, goodness was contagious. That's salt. That's light. That's Matthew 5, 13 through 16 embodied. That's what happens when ordinary people take Jesus seriously. Salt spreads. Light multiplies. The world changes. You are the salt of the earth. Let's spice it up. You are the light of the world because the light of the world has made you visible. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Father, help us to do that as salt and light because of Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name.